Take out your Bibles, if you have them, and turn to Mark chapter 13 and verse 33. This will serve as our text this evening. We want to discuss, take heed that ye watch and pray. You know, we receive much instruction, admonition, and exhortation from the Word of God. Sometimes the most needed reminders are the most simple. What we're going to deal with is a part of this particular text this evening. It is simple in form, yet many find it difficult to receive and follow the instruction found therein. The text is Mark chapter 13 and verse 33, and it very simply reads, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." You know, there's a lot of things that are in this life we know, and there's some things that we do not know. Our even weather forecasters get it all wrong. There was absolutely nothing said on even my phone. I checked the weather bug right before services, and it did not show what we're seeing outside of the building right now. I hope that it does not impede anyone from getting here, and as they drive, perhaps they are watching the road and praying. There's so much that we can watch for, so much that we are to pray for. But as we consider these words this evening, the words found in our text, let's focus on the words watch and the word pray. And then let's commit to doing this every day as we strive to remain prepared so that we can spend eternity with God. You know, as you read through the Bible and as you see words, sometimes they're not always used in the same sense. Sometimes you have to look at the context. And the same is true with the word watch. We see that it is used in a number of ways. I'm going to point out three of them. One of them is to watch in order to guard. We see signs where there's a step up or a step down. Sometimes the sign says, watch your step. You're driving along the road, especially right now in Asheville where they've had all the rain and mudslides and everything, you might see a sign, even a temporary one, watch for falling rocks. And it's telling us to be on guard. It's telling us to be aware, to watch, to be alert. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, we find a passage that is given directly to the Hebrews Christians, applicable to us as well, relative to someone watching. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. They are to be on guard for the souls of those whom they oversee. Why? Well, a number of reasons. First and foremost ought to be the love of God and the love of that other person's soul. But we see as we continue reading the passage, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And so in this sense, we see that the elders, those that have rule over you, those to whom we are to submit ourselves, are the ones who are to watch for our souls. Another way that it might be used is to look for. In Matthew chapter 24, 42, also in our text, Mark 13, 33, we see our Lord speaking in both occasions, both accounts, if you will. Watch, therefore. And he tells them what they're watching for, looking for. We as Christians today are to be watching. Oh, yes, we are to be on guard. We're to be watching so that we don't fall into the trap of sin. But we're also to look for something. We are to be watching for something. Now, that doesn't mean that we are to go around with our eyes glued to the sky to watch for the Lord's return. That's what he said there. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. He's going to come. And being ready, being watchful, looking for it, we don't really have to walk around and look at the sky, because every eye will see him. Every knee will bow. Everyone who is alive when the trumpet sounds will know that he is here. But while we're here, while we're walking the face of the earth, while we're serving God, we are to watch for him. Thirdly, it is used as a watch in the night. Oftentimes people take words and they use them to create little riddles and things like that. Who was the smallest person in the Bible? One quiz asks. Well, it's the man that slept on his watch. Now, when you think about it, a watch is not very big, and if a fella can sleep on that watch, but that's not what it's talking about. A watch in the night, Luke chapter 12 and verse 38, will help us to understand what this means. What they did, they had sentries posted, and you take the first watch, I'll take the second watch, and on throughout the night, so that each situation that was supposed to be guarded was properly observed and properly watched. It says, and if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Again, just like the text, we do not know when our Lord will return. We are to watch for him. And so we're to be on guard, we're to look for, and even if he comes in a certain watch of the night, we are to be ready. We are to be prepared. That's why our passage that we use as our text this evening says, take heed. Now, what are we to watch? Oh, preacher, you just said we're supposed to watch for the Lord to come. Is that all? There's a number of things to watch, and one of the most effective tools in using a word such as this is to make an acronym. In other words, take each letter of the word and show what each one of them stands for. And that's what I'm going to do at this point. First and foremost, we are to watch our words. You ever known someone that had developed a terrible habit of using foul language? And sometimes it's explained, they don't even realize they're saying it. And I decided to test that out one time. No, I didn't use the words. But I asked someone who was habitually using that kind of language, do you realize what you just said? What? No. I know exactly what you said. Do you realize what you said? And I repeated it back to him and spelled the offensive word. Oh, no. Did I say that? We're to watch our words. Now, Christians don't talk like that. But Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, that it is important to watch our words. So the word watch, if you break it down, you look at the first letter, it is W. It would equal words. Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And people say, well, how is that so? Well, the concept and the idea is very clear and very plain. That which is within the man is that which comes out of the man. And so we are to watch our words. In James chapter 3 and verse 6, we also see that words are important. Words are formed by the tongue. It's so interesting to watch children and to listen to children. And sometimes they can't say their letters correctly to begin with because they've not learned to use their tongue that way. And it's a process. And we also have to learn to use our tongue properly. In James chapter 3 and verse 6, we're told why. And the tongue is a fire, a wall of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Elsewhere in James it says that the tongue is a little member. But look at the damage it can do. It says here, it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire of hell. It can cause a great deal of problems. And so we are to watch our tongues. We are to watch our words. We are to watch our language and the things which we say. If we look at the letter A, we might say, watch what? Our actions. Now, a lot of times people say actions speak louder than words, and sometimes they do, because someone can be consciously aware of the fact of what they're saying, but not consciously aware of the fact that they're doing something contrary to what they're saying. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, we see that we are to watch all things, our actions. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. What was he telling to Timothy? Watch your actions. Make sure that they are the ones that you are to be involved in. You will have to endure afflictions, but while you're doing that, Make sure that your actions are those of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. As we move on through the word watch, we see the T. There's a number of things that we could use the letter T for, but first let's look at time. How many of us run out of time? I was talking just before services, and somebody said they always get up at 6 o'clock because they don't want to be in a rush. I said, yeah, you know what? When we're in a rush, that's when we forget things. But you stop and think about it, we all have the same amount of time. But it's how we use it. And so we must watch that time. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16 points out for us that it is important for us to manage our time properly, to watch our time, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we all are allotted the same amount of time. Maybe not the same amount of years. Maybe not the same amount of time on the earth, but every day is the same length for every person. And it depends upon how we manage it. I've heard people say, well, I don't have time to study the Bible. Why not? You know what? If it's the first thing you do every day, you got time. We might also include with the letter T, temptations. Which one of us have not faced temptation? We know that the Bible has guaranteed those who are the children of God that with every temptation there's a way of escape. But temptations are a fact of life. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, we have the Lord speaking, and he tells them to watch and pray. And he tells them why to watch and pray. That ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When the temptation is presented, even though we think we're strong, even though we think we have this covered, even though we think we have this beat, sometimes the temptation rears up at our weakest point. I am striving right now to lose some weight. I'm being somewhat successful. And there's this cute red bowl sitting on the bar in our house. And it's full of nice, delicious little chocolate candies. And I have to resist the temptation. But I confess, last night I ate two of them. They were so good. And not all temptations are bad. I mean, you know, I'm going to pay the price. I'm not going to lose that ounce or two that I picked up from that chocolate candy. But we are to pray that we enter not into temptation. Temptation is going to be before us. And if it was so important that I never eat chocolate candy again, I would have Linda give them away or do something with them, hide them from me. Might even bring them here and let y'all have them.
Amen.
That's the first amen I've gotten in a little while. But we've got to watch and pray that we need to enter not into temptation. Now that is a temptation that is not necessarily so bad, but what about other temptations? We have to pray for those as well, that we not enter into those temptations. The temptation is going to be there. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometime we succumb to the temptation, and we need to watch, and we need to pray. Know that when a child of God prays diligently, earnestly, fervently, that God will provide strength. Now, that doesn't mean you just get down on your knees first thing in the morning and say, Lord, be with me all day. Give me all the strength that I need. And presto bingo, you're going to have the strength. Because he's provided the strength for us in his word. Stop and think about the temptations of Jesus. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, but yet without sin. However, at every situation in which a temptation was placed before him, he responded the same way. It is written. And so, yes, we need to watch for the temptations. We might want to use C for the letter. For the letter C, we might want to use the word company. We need to watch our company. Now, that doesn't mean the people that come and visit at our house necessarily, although sometimes it's called company. Oh, we can't go do so-and-so because we have company. But company are those with whom we associate. Can they affect us? Oh, yes, they can. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, we find the Apostle Paul directing the Corinthians' mind so that they would guard themselves, so that they would watch, so that they would be prepared and to do the right thing relative to company. He told them, as the Spirit gave him direction, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And people say, well, what's that got to do with company? Well, like I've always been told, birds of a feather flock together. If you are with the wrong crowd, and you're associated with the wrong crowd, that is your company. And when we say the wrong crowd, we're talking about those who will influence you and draw you away from faithful service to God. The last letter in the word watch is eight. I can think of no better word to use there than heart. Now we know as we're talking about the Bible heart, we're not talking about the blood pump. It is important to take care of it as well. But as you turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, when we read it, we must understand and realize it's not talking about the blood pump. It is important for us to receive a certain amount of exercise to keep the blood flowing, to keep the heart muscle strong. But in Proverbs 4:23, we read, keep thy heart with all diligence. What he's talking about is the inner man, the soul of man, the thinking part of man. Keep it with all diligence. Watch it. Guard it. Make sure that everything that it does is for the good of the entire man. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Remember, what's in the man comes out of the man. And so we are to watch for it. And so we've seen the three senses in watch, which in which watch is to be used. We've touched upon what we are to watch for. Why should we watch? You know, some people might say it's a good thing to do, and it is a good thing to do. But that's not why we do it. We do it because it is commanded. Remember, we pointed out this morning, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if indeed it is commanded, then this is one of his commandments. And if we love him, we're going to keep it. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. As he was writing to those brethren, there was much that they needed to watch for. There was much that they needed to observe. There was much that they needed to be attuned to so that they could prepare themselves, so that they could be on guard, so that they could watch for the Lord. He said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. They were to be acting like men. They were acting soberly, being aware of what's going on, being aware of the commitment that they made to God when they obeyed the gospel, when they became children of God. That's why he said, stand fast in the faith. And to stand fast in the faith is to stand fast in the Word of God. Be strong. This is not only just to congregations, it's also to individuals. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, we find, as the Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to talk to young Timothy in the second letter, he did so. We've already used this passage. We're going to use it again because the point is valid. But watch thou in all things, every aspect of life, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. We've already answered the question earlier in the sermon as to why one is to watch. For we know not the day nor the hour when the Lord will return. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13. There are many people who do not understand the impact of Matthew 25 and Matthew chapter 24. Jesus was talking to them about some things that were going to come to pass very soon, very shortly, sometime within many of their lifetimes. When he says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh, he was talking about the events that we read of in the book of Revelation. But it also applies relative to the second coming. We do not know exactly when the Lord is going to come. There are those that oftentimes have trouble with songs. relative to the Lord's coming. There's one particular song that says, whether it be noon or night. That's very easily addressed, because when it's noon here, it's night somewhere else. And the whole world is going to receive the Savior. He's going to come, and He's going to destroy all of this and take those that are His back with Him. But in the meantime, we are to watch, because we don't know when He's going to come. We don't know what day. We don't know what hour. Mark chapter 13, verses 32 and verse 37. Again, we have speaking of these things. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. At the time the Son was here on the earth, He didn't know. He hadn't been told. It hadn't been revealed to Him. And then verse 37, He repeats the admonition that He oftentimes made to His disciples. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. It's important. Again, we see that we're to watch that we enter not into temptation. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26, verse 41. But we have other passages also that tell us about this. There is a reason for us to watch. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we find that this particular apostle, again directed by the Spirit in this general epistle, told these people to whom he was writing, be sober, be vigilant. And he told them why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I suspect that a lot of people don't realize and understand that Satan is probably one of the hardest workers in the church. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not working for the church. He's not working for the cause of Christ. But he's in the church, and he's working. And what is he doing? He is seeking whom he may devour, whom he may tempt, whom he may cause to stumble and fall. And he is our adversary, and we're to watch for that. But while we're watching for that, we're also to watch for opportunities to do good. How easy is that to do? I think, by and large, that humanity often watches so that they can see what other people do that is not good to make them look good. I was told for years, son, you never make yourself brighter by blowing out somebody else's candle. Took me years to figure out what in the world Daddy was talking about. But the Bible teaches us that we're to watch for opportunities to do good. And it doesn't really matter when it boils down to it, relative to us as individuals, if other people are doing good or not. We have the responsibility. And we're told here to watch, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. And notice it says, as we have therefore opportunity. What does that mean? When the chance to do so is offered to us. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so while we go through this life, we are to watch a number of things. We know now why we are to watch. But also, in our text this evening, take heed, watch, and pray. You know, the Bible is filled with examples of those who watched and those who prayed. I often look through sermon books, websites that have sermon outlines, and it would surprise you at how few sermons there are on prayer. It sometimes is surprising as how little teaching is done on prayer. And because of it, a lot of people don't know how to pray. I've heard people use phraseology in prayers that perhaps they picked up down the line. Maybe somebody, brother, said it and they thought it sounded good, maybe not even knowing where it came from or exactly why it was said. But the Bible is filled with examples of those who watched and prayed. But for what do we pray? What reasons is there for praying? I suspect if you were to take a survey and ask that question, a lot of different answers would be given. But I want to perhaps toss some out to you. Did you not know that we are dependent upon the Lord? In John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus was talking to them, and oftentimes he used analogies that they could grasp, that they could understand. He said to them in John chapter 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And this is easily understood. You cut the vine off and it falls. It's no longer connected. It's no longer receiving what it should from the source. Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. As we pointed out this morning, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 reminds the Christian that we are to be connected to Christ. And people say, well, we don't pray to Christ. How are we connected to Christ? Listen, he is our mediator. He is there with God. And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we are dependent upon the Lord. Stop and think, just for a brief second. If Jesus Christ had not come and died, what kind of shape would your soul be in? That's why it's important that we take heed, that we watch and pray. Secondly, we need to praise His name. Prayer is a way to do this. And a lot of times people might think that, oh no, when we get together and sing, that's when we're praising His name. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, we see that we're praising the name of God when we pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is just the prayer of example. Sometimes people call it the disciples' prayer. It's not. It's Jesus teaching on prayer. It's not the disciples praying. It's Jesus teaching them how to pray. And all of the prayer that he prayed at that point can be used, with the exception of thy kingdom come, because the kingdom is now come. At the time that he taught them to pray that, the kingdom had not come. And that is simply the same as asking the will of God to be done, the same prayer that Jesus prayed on multiple occasions. But we need to praise his name. We need to thank him for our blessings. How often do you thank God other than when you sit down at a meal? I've been surprised at times in the home of Christians in which a meal was served. Everything is laid out so nice. The aroma is just about more than you can stand. The food is placed before. Okay, it's time to eat. Everybody gets up from the TV or the ball game or whatever it is they're doing, and they come in and they gather around the table. The conversation all stops and the food begins to be passed. And sometimes the prayer is not offered. I think that we need always to thank God. Not just at the table either. There are those perhaps who have fallen into the snare and the trap, and that's the only time that they bow their head and say a prayer. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, we see that indeed that we are to thank him for our blessings. The Apostle Paul was directed to write to those brethren as he received this from the Spirit, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I had one person to say one time, doesn't God know everything? Yeah, my wife knows I love her, but I tell her that frequently. Yes, God knows absolutely everything. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. But we are directed, we are instructed in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We are to give thanks for the blessings that we have from God. And James chapter 1 and verse 17 points it out perfectly for us. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. From day one, quite frankly before day one, until the trumpet sounds, everything that's good came from God. Now, People say, well, what about the good things that have turned bad? That's not God's fault. That's man's fault. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights. But we must also petition Him for blessings. We find this in James chapter 5 and verse 16. And while we think, yes, God has blessed all of humanity, He has. But sometimes we pray for one another that they be healed. Now we know that during the miraculous age of the church, there was miraculous healings, and we don't expect that anymore. We know that's not the case. But oftentimes, as we communicate to God, as we commune with Him in prayer, we ask for others that they may be healed. Oftentimes, I try to make it a point to ask so that those who are providing the care would do so in such a way, or the medications that they are receiving, would the body would respond to it so that health would be restored. But in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. But the point here is the last part of that verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And of course, if we want to talk about petitioning God for blessings, we go back to the model prayer, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. I think sometimes people perhaps do not stop and pray like they should because they think, look what I've been able to do for my family. I filled the refrigerator full. I worked hard last week. I got my paycheck. We went to the grocery store. We bought this food. We have this nice dwelling. We have these vehicles to travel around in. We didn't do that. God has provided for us. He's given us the means whereby we might provide for our families. Some people take advantage of it. Some people don't. But again, we go to James chapter 5 and verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Therefore, as we look at tonight's lesson, take heed that you watch and pray. It's not enough to watch. You watch and pray. It's not enough just to pray. You watch and pray. What are we watching for? What are we praying for? We need to pray in accordance to the will of God, and we need to watch to make sure that we do our part to do the will of God so that we're ready to be with Him for eternity. The interesting thing about life as we go through it and all the admonition that we receive throughout the Bible is when it boils down to it, it's up to the individual. We needn't sit back and think, you know, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, so I'm going to go to heaven. I actually had somebody tell me one time, y'all think y'all the only ones going to heaven. Who? Oh, the Church of Christ. Why would you say such a thing? Because that's what y'all teach. I've not heard that preached from the pulpit yet. However, we do know that those who do the will of God and are obedient to His Word can be pleasing in His sight, and because of the grace of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, had the opportunity to spend eternity with Him. But not just because you call yourself a member. Therefore, all need to know what the Bible says to do about becoming saved, so that as children of God, they can receive this admonition and they can take heed and watch and pray. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, we see what was written to the Roman brethren. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So it is imperative that one hear the Word of God. Another thing that a person must do, or the second thing that a person must do, is believe. It's not just enough to hear the Word of God. One must believe it. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But when it's talking about believing, we are to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that is how God will reward us. But we must also repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Having done these things, the person then will confess. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, when the eunuch asked the question, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And the eunuch answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then one is to be baptized into Christ. 1 Peter 3:21 is probably the most direct passage relative to this. "The like figure wherein to even baptism doth also now save us." One must be baptized into Christ in order to be saved. When they're added to the church, they are already saved because it's simultaneous. When they become a member of the body of Christ, they are saved. And this happens in baptism. But then one must remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "To the church at Smyrna, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." We all want that crown, don't we? It's imperative then that we watch and that we pray. Perhaps you're here tonight and you've not done these things. Know that you have to do them. You will want to do them if you love God, if you love His Word, and if you want to do what His Word says. If you want to become His child, this is how you are to do it. But also, if you're here and you've done these things with the exception of remaining faithful, know that you've not been watching. You may have been praying, but is that effectual prayer? Has it been a fervent prayer? Well, God, because you are His children, gives you the opportunity to commune with Him in prayer. And if indeed you fall into that category, if you've not remained faithful, He tells us in Acts 8:22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness." You must repent before you can pray this prayer, "if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee." Tonight, as we open our song books to the selected song, we're going to sing verses 1 and 3. Know that one day you will give an answer as to how you watched and prayed, how you lived your life, how you served God while here on the earth. What will your answer be? If you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.